Hello, readers. Welcome to The Right Kind of Book Talk. I'm your host, Stacey Wright. This is episode 11, The Insanity of Fourth Wing and the Countdown to Onyx Storm. Now, if you read fantasy, you have most definitely heard of Fourth Wing. If you use Bookstagram and BookTok, you have definitely heard of Fourth Wing. The mania is real. And I'm really not ashamed to admit that I am caught up in its riptides. The countdown to Onyx Storm's release is exactly 1 week today. Now, I pre-ordered my deluxe copy back in March of 2024, the day they literally dropped the pre-release. I also have my Audible credit ready to go, as waiting for my mail is too much for my patience to handle that day. Today, we're going to discuss some of the fan theories surrounding Onyx Storm and the future in Storm, potentially the future in Stormers, because we don't actually know what they're going to cover in Onyx Storm yet. And I will give you the lowdown on what I think about these ideas as well. But before we dive into the world of Dragon Riders, let's see what books you can buy today at the bookstore. That's right, today is publication day. So we're going to start with Witchcraft for Wayward Girls by Grady Hendrix, and it's a horror. Lightfall by Ed Crocker, and this one is a fantasy with vampires. A Serial Killer's Guide to Marriage by Asia McKay, and it's a thriller with a splash of romance. The Favorites by Lane Fargo, and it's a sports romance. Let's Call a Truce by Amy Buchanan, and that one is a romance. I finished this one last night. Excellent book. What Happened to the McCrays by Tracy Lang, and that one's kind of like a literary fiction. Honeysuckle and Bone by Trisha Tobias, and that one is a young adult horror. The In-Between Bookstore by Edward Underhill, and it's a fantasy with, it's a queer fantasy. Phantom by H.D. Carlton, and that one is a dark, dark romance. Okay, so the chatter on this book series literally broke the internet. Readers have some really solid theories based on really clever things they noticed. And some readers have some really outlandish ideas, but could very well be true too. I'm not saying that they're wrong at all, because honestly, who the hell knows at this point? I read Fourth Wing last year, and Iron Flame pretty much right after that. I don't give in to hyped books. But one of my customers from my Bookmatch store, she sent me a copy of Fourth Wing, and I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Now, the writing isn't earth-shattering, but that's not where the magic is. I love the characters. I love the dragons. For the one person in the world that probably has zero idea what this series is even about, I'm just going to give you a quick overview. So we are introduced to a character called Violet Sorengale. Her mother, sister, and her deceased brother are all dragon riders. Her father was a scribe, and that is where Violet was set to end up. But for some reason, her mum decides she is to join the other candidates to train to become a dragon rider. So she makes a commitment to the Riders Quadrant at Basquiat. Most don't make it through the training. Some don't even get picked by dragons. It's basically a death sentence for Violet. She has had virtually no training, and yet her competitors for the quadrant have been training for years. It doesn't help that her mother has created enemies from the rebellion, and taking it out on her daughter is really easy prey. Like, Zayden's family were killed as traitors, and he had to join the Dragon Riders as punishment for his parents' crimes. And he is hungry for revenge, along with the other traitors' children. So she has danger all around her. But somehow she manages to get through the training, and she bonds with not one, but two dragons. She doesn't know who she can trust, and she knows there are secrets that can change the landscape of her people. So I'm going to apologize right now if you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to assume that you know something about Fourth Wing and that's why you're watching the episode. I'm going to try not to confuse you, but you also have to realize that this episode may well contain spoilers. So I'm going to insert spoiler alert right here. If you don't want to know anything, it might be time to turn off. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to give you what I'm thinking, like my theory. So I've read the books, I listened to the audiobooks, and I listened to the full cast audio as well. And I kind of feel like I pick different things up every time I read or listen to these books. So at this point, Violet hasn't shown her second signet for her little dragon, Adana. Well, that's not strictly true because she has apparently unknowingly used it. But we still don't know what it is. Turn, she can channel lightning through. In Fourth Wing, Adana could freeze time. Okay, cool. We're led to believe that that power will disappear as Adana, a very young dragon, grows, which that is obvious. Using the power also drains Adana. Now, the author says we have seen her powers, but it's not obvious. And fans can't agree on what it is. So, Taryn in Gaelic literally means thunder. And she channels lightning. That makes sense, right? Just kind of a clue there. So, Zayden, his dragon, is Sigale. And her name means shadow. And Zayden can wield shadows. All right. So now we get to Adana. And her full name literally means second honor. There's nothing really being given away here. But her original power was to stop time. So is she a time spinner? Her second signet means that she could travel back through time. Okay, you're probably thinking, no, Stacey, you're way off base here. But just please hear me out. Okay, so she was all set to join the scribes. She'd be training for it for a long time. Then her mother suddenly decides she's not going to be a scribe. Why? Okay, stay with me here. What if Violet went back in time to speak with her father and he knew the truth about the Venon and how to save Zayden? And she had questions about that. What if she told him or her mother that she was a dragon rider bonded to not one, but two dragons? One so rare, they thought her kind was extinct, and one of the largest dragons and most powerful dragons alive was her second dragon. Like, come on. Her mother would then know that she needs to join the Dragon Riders. But how do you explain that without sounding like a mental patient? Her mother also does some really questionable things in Fourth Wing. Like, she throws her daughter her EDS, meaning she has issues with her ligaments, into something she is barely trained for. Like, who does that? She knows her daughter likely won't hold her seat on a dragon. So why force her to join? Even her sister Mira cannot believe what their mother is doing. And she also makes Zayden secretly protect Violet knowing he hates her. Like, why? Why him? If someone who deals in war, you don't put the life of your daughter in the enemy's hands. Unless she knew that Zayden and Violet's dragons were bonded and he was a safe bet because their lives would be linked through that dragon bond. She also showed zero emotions when Violet bonded with two dragons, where that has never happened before. There was nothing, not a flicker. I think she already knew. So unless someone has a signet of foresight, there is no way she would have been making these decisions out of nowhere. So what knowledge does she have and how did she get it? So that's my theory. And I do feel pretty confident in it. But after reading what the author has to say in her interviews, it seems like she thinks we're all going to be disappointed. I don't want to be disappointed. But let's see what other people's theories are. Okay. So firstly, Violet's connection to the Venon. So at the beginning of Fourth Wing, it was mentioned that Violet's mother, General Lilith Sorngale, suffered a fever during her pregnancy that almost killed her and stole the child's colouring and strength. This means that Violet has two-tone hair. It's theorised that the Venon drained from Violet in utero. When the Venin drain the magic, it leeches the life and colour from the area. So the theory is that Lilith was attacked when she was pregnant, and that's why Violet is the way she is. Now, how a Venin could drain the fetus without turning Lilith doesn't seem very likely to me. I have a lot of questions about Lilith. She does some super sketchy things before Violet joins the Rider's Quadrant, and then again after. So we never really seem to piece together whether she is bad or good, or where her loyalties actually really seem to lie. She is a complete mystery to us, really. I never really gave her a massive amount of thought as a character, other than I felt like she was doing, what she was doing wasn't right. But I'm starting to wonder if I've either misunderstood her, or whether we are deliberately misled by the author. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but the likelihood for me of this is a 1 out of 5 stars. I'm sorry. So second is that Violet's father could be alive as a Venin. So we know that Violet's father has made sure that she has learned all the necessary lore to confront the Venin. In the stories he passes down to her, we learn the tale of the three brothers, the one bodied with dragons, the second one with the griffins, and the third one, in a fit of jealousy, decides to draw power directly from the source in exchange for his soul to triumph over the other two. Okay, it's interesting, right? So Violet's father is dead at this point. He had a heart attack, and we never actually know his name, which I kind of feel weird about. Now, the theory is that he knew too much and had to be eliminated. So the Venin took him and changed him. It's speculated that it's her dad that she is dreaming about. Now, the author has already vetoed this one, but it does beg the question. How much did he know? How did he know it? Was his death really a heart attack, or was he murdered? Now, I like the idea that he was poisoned better than him being Venin. And being alive, it would make sense that someone wanted his knowledge to die with him. It just makes you wonder if someone he knew did this to him, or whether it was the Venin. We don't even know his first name. Now, was that done on purpose? Someone was like, yeah, we know his name. And she literally went off to look and was like, oh, nope. He was just dad or father. Like, we know from Onyx Storm that it will include Lilith's journal. And I'm hoping we learn more about her father and her mother from it. We literally know virtually nothing except he gave Violet a book that was banned and that he was a scribe. It's interesting that he feels like a pivotal character we know next to nothing about. No, I don't believe this one. No stars for him being a Venin, but 4 stars for him being murdered. So number 3 was that Violet is a truth sayer. Now, there is a lot of speculation over what her second signet is. She was the underdog, but somehow she managed to bond with 2 dragons during threshing. That's unheard of, man. There are a lot of hints in Iron Flame, according to the author. So Tern is the dragon that provides the lightning wielding. So we know that it's Andana that we're waiting for the second signet to come from. We also know that the signet isn't completely dependent on the dragon, but it also deals with the strengths from the rider as well. Now, Andana is going through puberty, meaning the freezing of time has stopped manifesting. We know that Violet is a very honest person, and she chooses selective truths over outright lying. I guess I don't see it personally. Now, Zayden is an intrinsic, so he can read minds. That's his second signet. So if we are going for a mirror of his powers, she'd be able to feel people's emotions and maybe manipulate them. Because don't forget, he's a shadow weaver and she uses lightning. So light and dark, right? I can't see it being a truth sayer. Like, I can't. But chapter 35 in Iron Flame, like the top of the page in 306, the only signet more terrifying than an intrinsic is a truth sayer. And yet we let them live. And we know that there isn't one in the book so far. Now, I don't know if this is enough to prove that Violent could be a truth sayer, but readers are saying this is a hint. I know Zayden has two Cygnets because, according to what we know, his great grandfather was also bonded with Sigael. But what if there is more to it than just that? We have no idea how her powers will manifest with Andana either. So maybe there are things we haven't found out yet about the way Cygnets manifest through feather tails. It's been a long time since a rider has bonded with a feather tail, right? Actually, that's if they ever have. Like, I actually don't remember ever seeing that. Okay. Maybe the author has given us a second Cygnet as an extension from Tyrn. And not from Andana. Like, maybe there are things about Violet's ancestry that we aren't privy to yet. We don't even know her dad's name, for goodness sake. I have so many questions. And I think I went so far down into the rabbit hole that I can't see the rabbit hole anymore. The rabbit hole is back there. Like, I think I could write my own fan fiction with all the insanity running through my head. Like, next I'm going to have Violet morphing into a dragon herself. Okay, pin that story idea for Wattpad, Stacey. I really don't want the Truthsayer Cygnet for Violet. It seems really anticlimactic. But I also don't know, though. Like, I think I'd be really disappointed if it is. Like, hella disappointed. And because I don't want it to be that, I'm only going to give it 2.5 stars, even though in reality, I think it could actually be well true. Okay, the fourth one is the Brennin and Nowlin theory. So Nowlin was Tyrn's former rider who died. And Tyrn was so traumatized that he refused to take another rider, yet he decided to bond with Violet. Weird. Okay, so Nowlin was a siphon. And he tried to revive Violet's brother during the rebellion. And we know that Brennin didn't actually die, but Nowlin clearly died saving him. Tyrn didn't stop Nowlin from doing it either, so clearly he felt that what he was doing was acceptable. Why, though? So why did he save Brennin? Were they lovers? Did Nowlin actually end up bringing Brennin back from the dead? Okay, this is all really interesting information, but it's not really relevant to the plot. I don't. Now, if Nowlin had the power of resurrection and this becomes a plot in the series, okay, fine. I will retract that. But is Nowlin now a Venin? Is this something Tyrn would know? Can a villain that was once connected to a dragon still have a connection without the dragon knowing it? Or maybe a connection to the newest rider? What does Tyr know here? What do the dragons know about the Venin? And the Venin's powers? Like, oh! I have too many questions. Okay, too many! I could see maybe Nowlin and Brennin being lovers, but wouldn't Tyrn have known that? If it's true, why is he keeping so much secret from Violet? We see Nowlin brought up a lot considering he's already dead. So it begs the question, why? It's too interesting. You kind of wonder if we find out more about him in the next few books. Now, I really like the idea of giving Brennin some more depth in the books, so I'm going to give that theory a solid 3 stars. So theory number 5 is Andana's secret. We know that Andana is special. They don't call her a 7th type of dragon either, but the one with the 6 instead. So some believe that she is silver, as Tyrn calls Violet the silver one. Okay, that's interesting. We know she chose to be black like Tyrn after she was gold as a youngling. And when she was resting, she was reflecting the colors around her. It sounds really promising. The idea that she's a silver dragon, love it. Andana also mentions that she delayed her hatching for 600 years and that she was waiting for Violet. Now it's theorized that she is the leader of the dragons. Koga was basically a placeholder, but they've been waiting for her to hatch. Now, I think Andana is the key to everything, but how is the biggest question we really can't answer yet. The theories are wild and all just as likely as the next. The dragons are all so secretive, and I'm really not digging that. I am hoping book three will answer the questions as to why this is the case. And are the dragons moving away from humans? Do they know something we don't, or the humans in the book don't? Now, I really like this one, and I'm going to give it 4 stars. So number six, the theories surrounding Zayden. So the end of book two, we saw that Zayden is now turning into a Venon. He has the choice to embrace it, die, or the Venon will just allow him to burn out. Now, there are two theories surrounding this. First off is that Violet will literally spend Onyx Storm running around looking for a cure and somehow manages to find it. Doesn't matter that Jack Barlow said there is no cure, she manages to save Zayden. Cool. The other theory is that he turns evil by the end of Onyx Storm. I'm hoping for the former, but who the heck knows? It is theorized too that he could still be holding on to his love for Violet and joins the Venon to spy and doesn't lose himself. There is a lot of conjecture here. No one seems to really agree. I'm hoping he gets cured personally, but him becoming a spy works for me too. There is so much we don't know about the Venon. We know the book that tells the tale was banned, and there's obviously reasons for that. We know that Daddy gave a copy to Violet. We know that Venon don't channel through their dragons, and if the dragon dies, the Venon rider does not. Well, I'm guessing he will if he falls off. I actually hope Rebecca Yarros releases the Fable of the Baron as like a spin-off about the story of the Venon. Now, I can see this being fairly likely, so I'm going to give this 3.5 stars. Seven, this one's another one about Violet Signet and that she can speak with the dead. Others think that she could possibly amplify the powers of others. There are so many fan theories about her signet, I had to whittle it down to the top ones. But she does talk to Liam during an interrogation. But was that all in her mind while it was broken? Or was she really talking to him? And why him and not her dad? It's a really interesting idea, and I'm not sure how useful a signet that truly is. This one is a difficult one because Rebecca Yarros said that she has used her powers unknowingly in Iron Flame. So there are strong contenders. These two, like, they're strong contenders. She wields lightning, but they do say in the book that she might wield power. And lightning is how she is manifesting because she understands lightning. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I don't know. 3.5 stars? Number eight is that the Venon will lay siege to Atreus and to the dragon's hatchling grounds. I don't want to believe this, so I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. But there is some really compelling evidence to suggest this might be where the books are heading. Like, don't forget the wars were failing in book two. And all the lies surrounding where the wars were created, and they don't know how to fix it. It was a big part of the plot in Iron Flame. So this one, unfortunately, is ringing quite true. Now, it makes you wonder why they need the hatchling ground when they have their own dragons. Don't they breed? Or is it ultimately to destroy the dragons who won't side with them? Like, I'm really not sure why they would risk it, but I think this is really quite likely. So I'm going to say that there's a 4.5 star chance of that one happening. Nine, and I hate this one. I hate it. And Dana sacrifices herself at the end of the series to say everybody. So the meaning of her name and the fact she is growing at such a rapid rate could lead to Andana's death at the end of the series. She's already the last of her kind, and maybe there is a reason for that. Like, her line will finish up and it's protecting all other dragons. Like, her line pretty much died out around the time the Venon was significantly pushed back. Coincidence? Andana has waited 600 years for Violet to be born, and that's already interesting enough. The fans seem to think that because she is on rapid growth, that she maybe has the knowledge of what's to come, and that's why this is happening to her the way it's happening. Andana's sacrifice get rid of the Venon and save Violet in turn, because Andana isn't as woven into the bonds like Tan, Violet, Zayden, and Sigael is. I don't want to believe this one, so it gets no stars because my heart just can't take it. It's not that it's not a really good theory, I'm going to cross my arms like a toddler and go, no. Okay, number 10. The Sum of the Dragons will betray Navarre. Another Empyrean series theory I don't love is that some of the series dragons are already working with the Venon. We already know that traitors have infiltrated the War College, and we're inclined to think it's humans. But if they are linked to dragons, it may be through their dragons that they feel the way they do and have turned their backs on Navarre. Now, some dragons chose not to confirm the truth about the Venon, yet they knew. Yet most of the dragon riders seem to have no idea what was really going on. Tyrion also confirms that the Empyrean is split on how to deal with the coming war. Ugh. This could simply be reluctance to get involved in it. But people wonder if it's more than that. Having dragons siding with the Venon would be an incredibly interesting development for the Empyrean series. But I don't want it. I don't. So we're going to give that 1 star. I'm not saying it's not true. It's just getting 1 star. But somebody did mention that we as readers have been assuming that Navarre are the good guys. Now, flip this. What if they are really the bad guys? What? I know. My mind was blown too. Okay, so number 11. Riddick will die in Onyx Storm. Now, it's pretty much a given that more characters will die in Onyx Storm. But come on. The book's blur basically confirms that. And after Iron Flame's foreshadowing, superfans are hoping that it's somebody from Violet's tight-knit group of friends that will fall in the next Fourth Wing book. Personally, the idea that Riddick will die in Onyx Storm seems like the most likely candidate. From the four core characters in Violet's friend group, as they all vow to survive their time at Basquiat, it seems inevitable that one of them will have to break this promise. Realistically, it needs to be Riddick. Violet is the series' main character, so she can't die in the third installment. Sawyer already had a death scare at the end of Iron Flame, and the loss of his leg will likely keep him from battle for a while. So who does that really leave us? It narrows it down to either Rhiannon or Riddick. And Riddick's tendency to provide some comic relief makes him the most sensible option. Now, there are some clickings that it will be Dane that will die. He has become one of the most unlikable characters in the series. I personally cannot stand him. So having him die would likely upset Violet, but not enough to upset fans. So I kind of feel like he is a really safe person to kill off. Now, 4 stars for it either being Riddick or Dane. I can't handle it being Rhiannon, so that one would get a 0. Okay? 0. Okay, so number 12. This one's really interesting. That the Venon aren't looking for Violet, but they want Andana. The Venon seem to be very interested in Violet throughout the first 2 books. And it becomes a huge story arc, and it has all readers in tears trying to theorize why they want her so bad. So this is where this theory came in, that it's not Violet but Andana that they truly want. She is a rare Feathertail, and she could have unknown power. She could be a power source even. Getting to Violet is easier than getting directly to the dragon. Maybe they can sense the connection. Okay. It kind of fits with the betrayal we know about and how the Venon know so much about Andana. This could also quite nicely tie in to Violet's father dying. He was researching Feathertails, we already know that, and he knew the breed of dragon could potentially wipe out Venon. Maybe that's something we don't know yet, but he did know. I know I want to know more about Andana's history, her powers, and the reason she waited for Violet. Violet specifically too. Did she know that she was going to be born, or was she waiting for someone like her? Now, I really hope the Onyx Storm answers these questions, but I really get the feeling that for every question answered, we're going to have three new questions in its place. Do you have any questions that you need to have answered from Onyx Storm? Do you have any theories? Did you pre-order your copy? Or are you going to go running to Target at midnight to grab a copy instead? Are you planning on reading? Or are you going to listen to the audiobook? And I personally, I will be doing both. And when the graphic full cast comes out, I'll be doing that as well. Onyx Storm was literally the top most anticipated book of 2025. And from all the fan theories online, this book has a lot to live up to. But that's it for today. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please give me a hit on that subscribe button. It's youtube.com/@therightkindofbooktalk. That's right with a W. If you subscribe and comment on this video on YouTube, I will enter you into win Fourth Wing Onyx Storm bookmarks, necklaces, earrings. You can pick whatever you want. Follow me on TikTok at right.kind.booktalk. Instagram at the right kind of book talk. Facebook at right kind book talk. I hate that one. I really hate it. I hate it. Don't forget, you can always email me at therightkindofbooktalk@gmail.com. You can give me feedback, or you can talk to me about what kind of topics you'd like to see covered, or you can come on my show. Come on, you know you want to. We can just do a chit-chat, bookish chit-chat. You can find The Right Kind of Book Talk on Spotify, Apple Music, RSS, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. If you give me a follow on any of these and be in with a chance to win bookish prizes. If you send a friend to my YouTube and they subscribe and you've subscribed, you will double your chances of winning. Nope. So hope you have the reading day you deserve. And I will see you next week. This is Stacey Wright signing off from The Right Kind of Book Talk. Take care, everyone.